2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. This is the reading of God's Word. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful time of hearing of your word. Grant us an ear to hear your word so that your word, when we hear, will produce fruits of heaven in our lives. Oh Father, let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, through your word and have wonderful fellowship with him even as we hear your word. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let us be more and more like your Son, imitating him in everything we do, everything we say, even what we think. Oh Father, receive much glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. God's salutation or God's blessing that is sent to his church. Grace and peace. Grace and peace that are from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we have looked at the word grace. God's blessing for us, even though what we truly deserve is his eternal judgment of hell. And we have learned that all is by God's grace. Thus, there is no boasting in Christianity. And we know that his grace is all sufficient grace. Everything that he has planned for us, whatever that he planned before, even before the foundation of the universe, all that will be accomplished perfectly by his grace. Today, we will look at the other word, peace. Just like grace, this peace is not the same peace that this sinful world speaks of. This peace is also God's grace. It is peace that is given only to true Christians. This sinful world speaks of peace also, but it is not true peace. So many people talk about world peace. But if you read the Bible, ultimately, world peace is a lie. It cannot be achieved, it will not be achieved, because if you read the Bible, as that time of Jesus' return nears, more wars will happen. It just cannot be achieved because the world is under God's curse and judgment because of sin. So what is true peace then? The first of all, it is peace with God. This world does not know true peace, even though they speak of it. They do speak of peace when there is no peace. Non-believers who do not have the salvation of God, they do not know true peace. Romans chapter 1 verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So even as this non-believer speaks peace, and he tries all he could do to produce this worldly peace, there is no peace. Because the truth is that God's wrath is being poured upon him all the time, every single second of his life. Peace is peace with God. That's the true peace. All other peace is false, it's a lie. And even the false churches do the same thing as what the world does. They speak peace when there is no peace. Go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 10. Therefore I will give their wives to others, their fields to new owners, because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is greedy for gain. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone practiced deceit. So God is talking about bringing judgment because they're ungodly. But look at what happens. Verse 11. Prophet and priest. Today's language, pastors. They heal the brokenness of the daughter of my people superficially, saying, peace, peace, but there is no peace. Go to verse 15. We waited for peace, but no good came. For a time of healing, but behold, terror. And if you go down to verse 14, chapter 14, verse 13. But, Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them. So in today's language, pastors are telling their people, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsehood in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoken to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and the deception of their own minds. What is happening? They're telling these people, God will not judge you. God loves you. When in fact, God is not. Only way that God can love us is through Jesus Christ. There is no peace, true peace, without the true repentance of sin. There is no peace without genuine faith in Christ Jesus. They deceive themselves thinking God loves them and God is pleased with them. They deceive themselves thinking they are doing okay. Even though these people come to church, they do not understand the gospel. They have no intention of living for the glory of Jesus Christ. There is no repentance of their sins. There is no desire to obey God. And yet pastors tell them, oh, God loves you. God loves you. Peace, peace when there is no peace. No, true peace is peace with God. And that happens only in Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is taken away, then there is no peace. And this is what Old Testament church, what was happening in the Old Testament church, these priests and these prophets, they come to God's people and say, peace, peace, and when there is no peace. These people never repented. They just delight in sinning against God. And they keep telling them, God loves you. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. True peace is peace with God and peace with one another and peace within self. The sinners do not have peace. They do not have rest. In order for anyone to have true peace, his or her problem of sin has to be solved first. The loving relationship with God has to be restored before one can have true peace. The Bible claims the sinners are the enemies of God. They are the recipients of God's curse and wrath. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. You know, I was talking to this Christian, and that person said, I was never an enemy of God. Even when I didn't believe, I was an enemy of God. This is how they think. They never hated God, even when they weren't Christians. That's what they say, but the Bible says something else. All non-Christians are enemies of God. We were enemies of God one time. So there is no true peace for these people. Ever since sin came into this world, there is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. Do you remember Adam and Eve before they sinned? How were they before they sinned? I mean, we don't have too much information in the Bible, but you and I, we could conclude that Adam and Eve, they had joyous, loving relationship with God and joyous, loving relationship with one another before sin came in. God was their delight and they were God's delight. They were delight to one another. Perfect peace between God and them and one another. But what happens when they sinned? Adam, instead of loving Eve, he blames her for his sin and ultimately blames God for his sin. Genesis chapter 2 verse 12. You know, what happened? God asked, you know, why did you eat that fruit that I said do not eat? And you know, this is what Adam says. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. God, it is your fault. If you did not give me the woman, then I would not have eaten the fruit. That's what he is saying. So not only he blames Eve, but he also blames God. What happens to them after sin? Instead of enjoying the communion with God, they actually hide from God. God is no longer their delight, but he is now someone they only fear. There is no peace. How about their sons, Cain and Abel? Brothers who should love one another. What happens? Cain kills Abel, his brother. And when God asks Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Cain answers, "Am I my brother's keeper?" Cain hated God. And that hate continued throughout the history and culminates in sinners killing God, Jesus Christ, on the cross. Sinners hate God. And that hate, how far it will go? It will go far as killing God. These sinners will kill God. Enemies with God and enemies with one another. This is the state of the fallen world, the state of the fallen sinners. You really need to understand, there's no peace without Jesus Christ. There's no true loving relationship without Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example. You might know a non-Christian couple, husband and wife, who are so loving. Guess what will happen when they go to hell? How loving will they be to one another in hell? So for 80, 90 years, they faked it. Because ultimately, they will hate one another forever. That's not true love. That's a lie. Do you understand that? The non-Christians' whole life, their whole life is a lie. Because whatever they pretend to be, they will not be like that forever. Forever. They will show that for 80 years or 90 years, they pretended it was all lie. You have to understand the worthlessness, I should say, of non-Christian life, ultimately, because they'll all end up in hell. And they will show to you forever who they really are. Don't be deceived. Do not listen to these lies of the world. As if those pretending is worth anything. At the end, it was just that, pretending. This is the fallen state of the fallen world. The state of the fallen sinners. But, remember the other word we looked at last time? Grace. God's grace is still being poured out. God promises peace to his people. Even when his people were enemies of him. Isaiah chapter 9 speaks of the Messiah. And this is very famous verse, so let us go there. Isaiah chapter 9, it speaks of the coming Messiah. I'm going to read to you from verse 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. So God promises, even from the Old Testament, God promises true peace. And what do we learn? That this peace will be given through a child who is to be born. But Isaiah continues in chapter 53, verse 5, but he was pierced through for our transgression, he was crushed for our iniquities, the chastening of our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Peace will come to us through this child, but through his sufferings and death. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10, I will cut off the chariots of Ephraim and the horses from Jerusalem, and the bow of war will be cut off, and he will speak peace to the nations, and his dominion will be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 to 5. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephratah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. So here you see prophecy of God saying that the Messiah will come from or born in Bethlehem. His going forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Therefore, he will give them up until the time when she who is in labor has borne a child. Then the remainder of his brethren will return to the sons of Israel, and he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. This one will be our peace. And you know this Messiah that was promised is our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace that God promised will come through this child. And he is our peace. It is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14a, for he himself is our peace. At the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 2, verse 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. But as you know, the sinners rejected this peace. They rejected Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42. When Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. Jesus Christ alone gives this peace. John chapter 14, verse 27, peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Jesus Christ is our peace. And He's the one who gives us this peace. But remember, you must remember, this peace is only in Christ. If Christ is removed, then there is no peace. No matter how they pretend to have peace, there is no peace. Go to Matthew chapter 10. You must understand this peace of God is only in Jesus Christ. Chapter 10, Matthew, verse 34. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth." Now, is this contradiction? Well, in other verses, we're taught that Jesus is one who brings true peace. But here he says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth." And this is how you must understand that this peace that Jesus brings is only in Jesus Christ. So, apart from Christ, don't think Jesus is bringing peace apart from himself. So, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and man's enemy will be the members of his household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. So don't think that when Jesus says, "I'll bring peace," that it is peace apart from Christ, that is, you know, general peace even non-Christian can enjoy. You and I have peace because of Christ. Even when we fight, we have peace. Because that fighting is actually temporary. Because of what Christ has accomplished for us, even as we fight, even as we act like we don't have peace, that's just temporary. That is sin, not witnessing properly what Christ has accomplished. Because we have Jesus Christ. But when Jesus is removed, even if we pretend we have peace, we don't have peace. This is what you must understand. Because of Jesus, even family is divided. Even our enemies is in the family. Because it's all about Jesus Christ. And you cannot love your mom, your dad, or your brother, your husband, your wife more than Jesus Christ. Yes. You know, I tell my kids, don't obey me when I tell you to sin. You cannot obey anybody if what they're doing or what they're saying is against what God is saying. Because true peace is only in Jesus Christ. He who loves, I read that. Now, there is true peace in Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. It is talking about Jesus making both Jews and Gentiles into one new man. But you could also apply it to you with your brothers and sisters. There is no enmity between Christians, no matter how much we fail to witness that reality. Jesus Christ has removed it. This is what you must understand and believe. Colossians 1:20, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Brothers and sisters in Christ, do you know this peace? Jesus Christ is the only reason that we are able to speak peace. The hell is a place where there is no peace, no rest, forever and ever. But for believers, true peace is our eternal reality of our salvation. Peace with God and peace with one another. And peace within ourselves. Peace, then, is our already accomplished reality of heaven. You possess it. You already have it. And you must witness that. You must believe it. Don't act like you don't have peace in Jesus Christ when it comes to your brothers and sisters. Because if you do that, you're denying what Christ has accomplished for you. Understand? Grace and peace. God's blessing to you. Romans chapter 14, verse 17, for the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy this peace that our Lord has accomplished for you. Enjoy it. But it is so amazing sometimes. Christians, they don't enjoy the peace that Jesus has accomplished, but they would rather enjoy fake peace with the world and the people of the world. Brothers and sisters, understand that eternal peace, peace of heaven, is our heavenly reality that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the perfect peace with God, and we have the perfect peace with one another. And we must witness this reality by our faith. We are our brother's keepers now and forever. Don't you ever be like Cain saying, "Am I my brother's keeper?" You are your brother's keeper forever. Whether you like it or not, that is your reality if you are a Christian. Man, how dare we hate our brother when God made that person our brother forever. How can we not care for our brothers when God even gave his life for that brother? You must understand, peace has been accomplished between you and your brothers. Eternal, perfect peace. This is our eternal reality. And if you don't want to accept that, if you don't want to witness that, that is your sin. And I pray that as God pour out his grace and peace, that you will witness that reality. How you are recipient of grace and peace of God. Yeah, I ask you, hey, how's, I don't know, John? I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know what happens to John. Yeah, I mean, last thing we want to do is imitate Cain. Come on. But it seems like this is what goes on, even in our church. It's like people just don't care. Don't care about what happens to our brothers. Because it's all about me and my life, what I do. Let's not do that. I want you to realize that we have become our brother's keepers in Jesus Christ. And it's not about whether that person is worthy of your love or your friendship. It's not anything in that person per se, but it's about Christ. You and I, we are to love one another forever because of Jesus Christ. I mean, if Jesus is taken away, then who cares whether we love or not? We all end up in hell and we're going to hate one another forever. I mean, who cares what we do here? Because we're all going to go to hell and we'll hate one another forever and ever. That's what's going to happen apart from Christ. But if it is in Christ, then we don't have any options. This is what Christ has accomplished. And you are Christian because you accept that and you believe it. It's all about Christ. I mean, you know, I have to say, I love you not because you are lovable, but because of Jesus Christ. And I believe it's the same with you. I mean, I'm not lovable. Even when I look at myself, I don't think I'm lovable. But you have to love me because of Jesus Christ and what he has done and what he has accomplished. See, we have to think everything. We have to understand everything. We have to judge everything in terms of what Jesus has done and what he has accomplished. That's how we do things. Because that is the truth. That is the everlasting truth. But once you understand that way, then it actually becomes my joy to love you. And in Christ, you actually become lovable. But it's all in Christ. Understand? Yes, just believe and go at it, and things will happen. Yes, your brothers will be lovable to you, and you will be joyfully able to love them. This is what happens when you accept the truth. But see, believing has to come first. Otherwise, if there is no believing, all your effort to love is in vain. Even if you actually think you love, it's not true love. See, let's not do this as the world does. You know, why world will love anybody? Because they believe that that person will bring benefit to me. That's it. It's all about me. That's why I love you. Because you will bring some kind of benefit to me. Even if you're just pretty, looking at pretty, you know, face, it's a benefit to me. But it's all about me. That's how world loves. But we love because of Christ. Because of Jesus Christ. Period. There's no other reason whatsoever. It's all because of Jesus Christ. And let me end this with this. This is amazing grace, amazing salvation of God. You know, God accomplishing this peace, what is he doing? God is inviting you and me into the perfect peace among the three persons of the Trinity. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. Perfect peace within the Trinity. And as we have peace with God, we are invited into that peace of Trinity. Amazing. Why would God do that? He doesn't need us. He's perfect God, all-sufficient God, and yet This is what salvation is all about. He is inviting us into that relationship of Trinity. And let me ask you, how was this peace accomplished? How? Our Lord Jesus Christ dies on the cross. And on that cross, Jesus, His peace with the Father has been broken. The Father had to turn His face away and pour out His wrath upon Jesus, for Jesus bore our sins. And I do not know how else to express this. On the cross, the peace of Trinity has been broken. And I don't know what I mean. It sounds so heretical. And yet I don't know how else to express it. On that cross, at that moment, peace between the Father and the Son was broken. And I don't know how this is possible within the Trinity. Maybe I should not say more because I don't know what I'm talking about. But what price was paid so that you and I would have peace with God and peace with one another? What price God had to pay to accomplish that peace? And you dare not ignore that peace that Jesus has accomplished for you. Know what price has been paid. And you know how do we know what is valuable? Well, you say, how much you pay for it? And if it's high price, then you know it's valuable. So this peace, how much did God pay for it? To accomplish it for you. And you must know the value of it. And when you know, like I said, please don't ignore this peace that God has accomplished for us. Peace with God and peace with one another. Let us enjoy this peace and let us witness. My daughter always complain about that. Whenever I say witness, I say it in three syllables. She goes, no, there's only two syllables. But you probably got used to it so much, so it really doesn't bother you anymore. Yeah, we must witness this peace. And I pray that Christ and Heaven OPC, this is the place where this peace will be witnessed by you. You know, these are the things I pray for. That one day, clear to everybody who see it. That reality of heaven is witnessed here. Brothers and sisters, peace with God and peace with one another. This is our present spiritual heavenly reality. Even if you live as if you do not have peace with your brothers and sisters, it does not mean that there is no peace between you and them. Oh, you have to understand this and believe this. We believe what has been accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ and witness it. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God blesses you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for grace and peace from God our Father and from Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank you for this peace you have accomplished for us, so that we may have peace with you and peace with one another. And even as we sin, we have peace within. For we know that our Lord Jesus has bore our sins and died for our sins. And Father, let us always believe and witness the fact that we have peace in Jesus Christ. Let us show to the whole world that is so. And we pray by your grace that Christ and OPC will show to the whole world what your Son, Jesus Christ, has done and accomplished for us, so that we may bring glory and honor to you. Bless us, God. Bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.